hour number 10 of Rosie on the House. Well, I guess hour number 4. The 10 o'clock hour. The hour we dive deep into one specific topic. If you subscribe to our newsletter, you already know it's week, it's garages. What a great time to cover that topic. We'll be spending a lot more time inside our garages as the heat comes on, if it's not cluttered and clustered and so packed you're not even putting your vehicle in there. Well, if it is, we've got time to get that cleaned up and cleared out for the summertime and may extend your living space. It's the cheapest, most affordable way to extend your living space. It already has a concrete floor. It already has walls. It's got a big door. It's got a ceiling. We just have to make it usable, functional now. If you'd like to join the conversation, it's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Text questions can be sent to 411-923. And emails can be sent to info@rosieonthehouse.com. We've already got Ann on the line, and we'll get to her Ann in just a moment. And there's a room for you at 1-888-767-4348. Tip number one in our article did say the obvious: get it clean. Have a garage sale. Have a dumpster delivered. Get all of that stuff out. We've got a trick we use when we're cleaning the house. If an item makes it through a massive house cleaning twice, but it is unused in those two times, Goodwill, baby. If it's not being used, just send it down the road. Goodwill it or garage sale it. There's no reason to keep stuff around the house that's not being used. But that's not a fun topic. Cleaning up is not a fun topic. So we'll move on to where we're getting into some fun stuff. The floor. Man, there are so many options available for garage floors that are just absolutely immaculate. And it's not a huge expense. And it's not something that you can't train to do yourself. Biggest trick is in the prep work. If it's an old garage, if you've got layers and layers of oil and gunk on it, if you have trash, if you've got animals that are in the garage, it's only going to be as good as the surface you're applying it to. So we want to make sure we get that floor clean, whether it takes 3 weekends to do it and scrub it, whether we have to diamond polish it, whether we have to pour a new coat on top of it. To have a fresh surface to work with. We've got to get that concrete floor clean, which, again, goes back to the cleaning topic of it. That's the most boring part of putting a new floor. If you're doing epoxy, if you're doing checkered patterns, there's people that can put in decals of sports teams into your floor. I'm not a big fan of the chip application that goes over epoxy. That gets boring to me real fast, but I will say it's a great way to hide dust. If you lived in a windy area or dust clean, that it does hide the cleanliness of your floor quite well. There's a couple great places you can go take a look at these. Downtown Phoenix, I don't believe they're going to be open much longer. I think they're open until only 11 or 12 on Saturdays, but you've heard us talk about Coal Hill's building specialty for years and years. The entire showroom is just one type of concrete coating floor system to the next, to the next, to the next. A lot of great options there. You can find out when their next training session is. It's primarily for contractors, but as a homeowner, you can go down there and sit in as well. Outside of Coal Hills, there's Marville Masonry. You can find, I think they've got 4 in Phoenix, 1 in Tucson, Border Marville. They have 1 in Border and Flagstaff. A lot of great products for concrete coatings and getting that floor up to par. It really makes the difference to the rest of the improvements you can make to your garage, getting that epoxy floor coated. And we'll cover those other improvements as we throughout the remainder of this hour's broadcast. But we're going to take a couple calls right now, starting with Ann. Ann Gilbert, good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning. I have enjoyed some family weekend time and let my waffle iron sit on my solid surface counter, and apparently the heat over a number of years has cracked the glue or the adhesive, and now I have a crack in the Corian, and having a real hard time finding someone that will help us put that back together, or is it something we can do ourselves?
I don't know of a do-it-yourself repair. In fact, and when you say the glue adhesive, is this where the piece of Corian was glued together for a large?
Yes, it's the island, and it has cracked. I heard it as, you know, one morning we just heard the crack, and sure enough, you know, one half of it has dropped, just that fraction of an inch, but, you know, it makes, you know, food get in there, and and it's only going to get worse, I'm sure, over time once you have that break in that seal. But so maybe it's a big island, so it might be a bigger project. But
well, I'm a lot more hopeful now that it's a crack on a fabricated line. If it was a crack through the actual Corian itself, I don't know that there's a solution to that because it's a full acrylic system. But the fact that it's a joint where it's been glued together, I would imagine that even if they just need to make a precision saw cut right through that and re-glue it inside, on site. Now, we don't have in our contractor referral network someone that currently does Corian. Mike Holt, that used to run Performance Solid Surfaces, retired, and we've not found a replacement for somebody that services Corian. But it's a DuPont product. And I went to their website, and I've got two names for you. We'll get you off air because I'm not familiar with either one of these companies. They're luckily for you, they're both in the Southeast Valley. One's kind of in the Ahwatukee area, and the other one's out in Gilbert off of the 60. So they're the two that are in the Phoenix metro area. In fact, the only two in the whole state that are on DuPont's website as authorized Corian dealers are those two close to you. Looking at their information, they've both been in business a long time. One of them's license was issued in 95. The other one's license was issued in 05. So they both have a good work history. We'll get you their contact information off air just because, I don't know them. But hang tight. We'll make sure and get that information to you. They're a great countertop. They last a long time. And because it's a mixture that's poured all the way through, you know, one of the selling points of Corian was you can sand it and get a brand new finish look over and over and over again. So you've got years of use that you'll get out of a Corian countertop. Was their big selling point. Now that it's not nearly like your granites or zodiacs and these natural stone looks, but it's not a bad investment. I would venture to say, I did not ask her. She said over the years, she's probably had that 15 or 20 years. And if we can get it glued back together, there's no reason to think we couldn't get that another 10 or 15 out of it. As we're going through our talking points and garage conversions, making it a usable living space, you got to look at the obvious as cooling it. And a lot of people, when a home's being built, their builder will give them an option. Do you want insulation over the attic? Do you want to insulate the walls? Do you want an insulated garage door? And you know, at the time, a lot of people will opt out of those because you're getting near the end of the building. Those aren't fun things to put your money in, whether the stereo system, the kitchen countertops, upgraded appliance. You know, those are fun, shiny things to you want to spend any remaining budget on. A lot of people don't see the value in insulating the garage while it's being built. But if you're in that process, or if you're looking to build a home in the future, that is investment that will pay for itself year over year over year, especially when you go to try and cool it. There's no point in trying to air condition a space that's not insulated. I mean, that is just going to suck a ton of money. It's a horrible waste of energy, and it can be done so affordably in the building process. But if you didn't do it, go ahead and get those things done. We can do foam injections, we can do spray-in applications, we can get in the attic and put more cellulose up in the rafters, get it up to an R39 that matches the rest of the house. When it's time to go to a garage door, make sure you get an insulated garage door. You can go put foam panels on the interior. Not a great look, but that'll get you by for the meantime. Once you've got everything insulated, now you can start looking at ways to cool off your garage. There's a evap cooling is the obvious, and we've talked about evap cooling garage for years. There was a specific product line called the Slim Wall. We actually have one on our workshop, and I put one on my home when I built back in 04. Great options, but with the with the technology that's come with the mini splits, I don't think I'd ever put an evap cooler back on, even though I do like the evap cooling feel. But you know, you've got to run a water line. You've got now your maintenance of your evap cooling with the pads and cleaning those resources. It's just a headache. And when I build and when I get done with a project, I like to do it from a maintenance free mindset. I don't want to build something I'm constantly going to have to be tinkering with to keep it in good working condition and to get it maximized to its efficiency. So I would go mini split option, no question about it, if you have that in your budget. A Slim Wall, if I remember right, you're looking at around $600 for the evap cooled Slim Wall. A mini split's going to cost you a couple $1,000, but it's going to be such an efficient way. We're actually working on building a tack room out at the Whitman Plantation, and it's going to have a mini split in that to keep all of our leather saddles and tack from getting up to however hot it gets when it's unair-conditioned right now. I haven't tested it, but man, it's well over 100. Oh, thank you, Mike. I completely forgot we've got baseball tickets. Let me go back here to my notes. We were going to make you work for it this time. Last time it was just text when you hear the sound. And if you know any of the four Arizona Diamondbacks whose high school, college, and professional career were all here in Arizona, there's four of them. Text their name to 411-923. Between now and the next news break, bottom of the hour, that is at 10:27:50 exactly. You've got a little over 6 minutes to look that up. Text it in. We'll take all the texters that come in that amount of time and pick a random drawing, and you will be going to a Diamondbacks game. It is, let's see here in our newsletter, scroll down to the bottom. It is game 35 against the Milwaukee Brewers. And these are great seats, y'all. They call them the dugout seats. You're in the row 13, seats 7 and 8, compliments of KTAR, our flagship station. You'll feel like you can just reach out and touch them. And it's a great spot for when they do the air cannons and they're throwing stuff into the crowd. You're in a great sitting position to grab whatever promotional item they're shooting into the stand. So there's four Diamondbacks players, high school, college, and pros here in Arizona. So obviously if they did pros, they were a Diamondback player. They could have come out of a variety of obviously colleges and high school, but there's four that have done their professional baseball career. Look it up. Text it to 411, any of them. You don't have to text all four. Right? We don't need them all. Just any of the four. And like I said, we'll have a random drawing. Continuing on our conversation of garage, you know, before I kind of jumped the gun, decide what you're going to use the garage for ahead of time. And that's really going to determine the end product. Is it a hobby shop? Is it a theater? Is it storage? Is it sports? Recreation store equipment, or are you just going to park in it? Are you finally going to get it cleaned up and put your vehicle in your garage to keep it out of the sun? You've got to determine what you're going to use it for. Now, on the topic of cooling, I'm excited. We're actually get product tests requests constantly, and one of the coolest ones I have ever seen, the mini split air conditioning you've heard me talk about, it's exactly that. It's a split unit. You've got the condenser, the compressor outside, and then you've got the unit on the interior that delivers the cool air. Usually has a remote control. You can turn it on and control it. Little tiny units that you don't, they're not intrusive. They don't make a lot of noise. Comes in, cools your off. Well, now there's a portable air conditioning unit that Frigidaire has come out on the market with, and they reached out to us this week and said, we want to send you this portable air conditioning. Try it out if you like it. Obviously they want the rosy endorsement if it's something we're going to use. So it is in shipment, and it's pretty cool, and it's not as expensive as you would think. You have, in fact, when we're talking evap coolers, I think it was right around $600 that the slim wall was. Well, the MSRP on this unit is $650 for a portable air conditioning unit. And it's how many BTUs you think a portable air conditioning would come with? No idea. This one, 12,000. I mean, so it's packing a punch. And it's, of course, yeah. Thank you, Tim Allen. It works with, it's Wi-Fi, so you can control it from your smartphone. If you're coming home and you want to turn it on in the garage, if you're, if you can't take your butt off the couch and walk 10 feet, turn it on, you can do it with your phone right there. So it got a lot of new features. It was not something we saw at the National Hardware Show. This is just somebody that reached out to us this week. We'll be anxious. And of course you'll get reports on that here at Rosie on the House. And just for the record, no, Kurt Schilling is not a correct answer. You have to have a correct answer. Barry Bonds is not a correct answer. Luis Gonzalez is not a correct answer to our trivia. So you can't just send a name and expect to get in the drawing. You've got to look up the actual players that did high school, college, and professional here in Arizona. And then you'll be entered to win the Diamondbacks tickets. And we have, about a minute and a half here till the next break. You can Google those answers or go to the Diamondbacks website. I'm sure it's on there as well. And we just want one. I don't need all four. Just one of the guys that did their whole baseball career here in Arizona, and you'll be entered to win the Diamondbacks tickets. I don't have the date on it, but it's game 35 against the Brewers. It's Rosie on the House talking through our garage conversion. Here we'll go through the rest of our talking points on the backside of the news break. If you'd like to join the conversation, it's 1-888-767-4348. It's our open line hour, so we do take any and all questions. Generally, that's in the 9 o'clock hour, and our professional is in at the 10, but we switched those this week due to scheduling conflicts. So it's our open line hour, 1-888-767-4348. Welcome back to Rosie on the House, your Saturday morning tradition for 29 years. Thank you for being with us, and you can join the conversation at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Text questions to 411-923. Our text contest is over, so you've missed that window, but we've got, that was game 35. Oh, we've got tickets through September 22nd, so there's plenty more opportunities for you to win. And we've got the email, of course, info@rosieonthehouse.com. Like Sonny Wells wrote in this morning, he was looking for some help for his brother who's disabled and can't afford the roof repair that need to be done. He was able to acquire all the shingles he needs, but being disabled, he's not able to do the work himself and is looking for any suggestions on where to go for help. I don't know. There is a company, and I was trying to look them up, but I just realized this is a Pennsylvania chapter. But there's a group called Angels on Call, and they do home improvement work for people that are elderly, can't afford it, or disabled. And we will get you in touch with them. So there's one great option for you, Angels on Call. Habitat for Humanity is another great resource. They don't do repairs, but you've heard their ads run through programming. If you're looking to do a remodel, they will do the deconstruction for you. So they'll come take out cabinets, countertops, appliances, plumbing fixtures, lighting fixtures, furniture, anything that's still in great working condition that can be resold, and then they'll sell it at any one of their 14 restores throughout the state. And it's a great way to save money on the demolition cost because they don't charge for it. And now instead of all that material ending up in landfills, it gets put back into someone's home that that could use it. So there's a couple great resources for the nonprofit work in the housing industry. Let's get to Donald at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Welcome to the program. Do we have Donald?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Hi. I have a house. I put a brand new air conditioning system in my house, and I had the guy to put my air conditioning system in, put an extra vent into the bedroom so to get more air into the bedroom because my wife always says it's hot all the time. And I told her because we built over the garage. The rest of the house is cool and just fine, but the bedroom over the garage is always hot. And I was wondering, what can I do to try to cool that down?
So the bedroom that you had the extra duct work installed to is over the garage?
Yes.
Okay.
It's the master bedroom.
What I would do is I would call Banker Insulation. You can find them at rosieonthehouse.com. Click on Find a Trusted Partner. I'm doing this in real time to save you the effort from having to do that, 85212. And they'll be able to come out and add some insulation. It's we'll see what is currently between the bedroom and the garage. That is a great place for it to get very uncomfortable. Their number is 602-273-1261. If it's an unair-conditioned garage, we were talking earlier about cooling the garage, that might, once we get it insulated, that might be a great application for a mini split. So now, instead of trying to insulate your master bedroom from having to compete against a garage that's 100-plus degrees, you know, now we're asking the air conditioning to cool your master bedroom that's competing with a garage that's 80 degrees, 85 degrees, 70 degrees, however cool we can get it with the mini split. And they are so efficient. Every one of our partners in the air conditioning industry say that those mini splits are going to change the face of air conditioning and how we build and insulate our homes in the, for the future. And it's going to be a series of mini splits that operate and control the home instead of one central unit. And it aside from the upfront costs, like I said, I think they're about between $3,000 and $5,000. The operating costs of them are so effective. So there's one thing, or a quick cheater. You can still get a portable evap cooler. Portacool is a great company. Those slim walls we mentioned earlier were made by a company called Mastercool. I don't know if they're still making them or not, but Mastercool brand's still around. But I've switched all of my evap cooler over to Portacool because it's an American-made product. They outsourced Mastercool to Mexico. Portacool's made in Texas. I'll spend my money where the manufacturing is inside the U.S. So everything now is Portacool. Very durable, hard plastic. Portable evap coolers. They range in price from less than $200 up to $1,500. It's way bigger than you're going to need for your garage. You'll just have to figure out how to exhaust the air. You can't leave your garage door down and your door closed. All of that pressure that is going to generate has to escape the home somewhere. So whether you leave your garage door open for 6 inches on the bottom, which a lot of people don't like to do because then that lets little crawlers come in the garage door. So if there's no window in the door to the outside, or there's no door to the outside of your garage, we'll install one there, and that'll create your exhaust. And that's going to cool your garage down easily. easily 15, 20, if not 25 degrees. And then again, you're not asking your room, your air conditioning in your master bedroom to compete against the garage that's over 100 degrees, and that'll drop the temperature down. I don't know why. I mean, it does seem to be a great space. And if you are in the mountain country or above 4,500 feet elevation, great use of space. But, man, I cannot tell you how many times we get that call of a bedroom above a garage that just cannot get cool. It's, you know, especially if you're parking your vehicle in it. You know, you're taking a vehicle that's engine is well over 150 degrees, putting it inside the garage and even introducing that heat more, and then you're closing it behind. It's not a great system unless you've really got your air conditioning, your garage in an air-conditioned condition. There was an article Jennifer handed me on the way out by a guy. Listen to this. Get this guy's name. Duffer. Robert Duffer from the Chicago Tribune. And he's... What a great name to have on an article like this. Three Steps to Decluttering Your Garage by Duffer. He's out there duffering around. But his three points were great. Allocate the space. Assess the value. Kind of goes back to the first point we were talking. Get rid of anything you're not using or haven't used or don't use. But the last one was a really good one. Avoid surface creep. Floors, countertops, desks. The tops of those surfaces are not for storage. Those are your working spaces. Make sure you have correct storage systems. And there are so many that are on the market. It's hard to select. In fact, we have three different garage storage units that we're testing at Rosie on the House just to decide which one we'd like the best. All of them are very easy to install, very do-it-yourself oriented. We're just trying to decide functionality and durability, which ones are the best and the ones that we'll have available to the Arizona homeowner. But make sure you avoid surface creep. Gosh, that is so hard to do. I'm probably the worst at it, and I'll be honest. If you see my desk at the office, I hate paper. If I don't have to print something, I don't save the paper. With the digital world, put it in files, folders, organized. I don't know how it piles up on my desk. The paper creep. Repaint and repair was point three on our article, making sure we've got the inside walls and ceiling nice. There's something to be said for a fresh coat of paint, and it goes back to the flooring prep as well. It's only as good as the prep work you do. A lot of garages were never painted to begin with. They were just left to save money, and it was one of those things that the homeowner made the decision, oh, I'll get that. You know, I'll finish the paint on the interior, and you've got the drywall with your mud joints. That's going to need a good prime base. If the paint's in good condition, you're not going to need to reprime it before you paint it. That's if the paint's in good condition, paint will apply to paint. So you don't need to worry about priming. But if it hasn't been, make sure it's a coat or two if it's been a couple of years since that drywall's been bare. And then cabinets. Man, you can spend a lot on cabinets. And there are some really, really nice cabinets that are on the market for garage. It's you don't have to go nearly overboard as you can in the cabinet world. But when we get back, we'll talk a little bit more about the options that are available. We've got some great information. One of our partners out of Tucson, Mr. Bob Trotter from California Closets, have provided in the article, and we'll get to that all here at Rosie on the House. 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Mr. Bob Trotter's advice on cabinets, our partner in Tucson from California Closets. He was actually at a closet convention. Did you know there's closet conventions? It was in Scottsdale this week. I didn't get any details. I haven't heard back from Bob. I called him to find out what exactly is at a closet convention. But they had one. I'm sure it's a lot of products and new storage and best practice and stuff like that. But you know, we'll get an update on the closet convention here shortly for y'all. But and don't install the cabinets to the ground that in the garage. When you step into the garage, you're stepping down. There's a reason for that, especially when there's water that will happen from time to time. And garage breaks. It's just it's a bad idea. Have them either on legs, or they do have ones that are strong enough that you can mount to the wall, so you can sweep underneath it, clean underneath it. But you've got that big garage door, a lot of debris that can blow in and out. Don't put your cabinets to the floor. And on the design, there is a much different approach you have to take to garage cabinets than interior cabinets, just because of the material you're putting in there, the products. You've got sporting equipment, the sizes are different, the what you're opening it and your demands are a lot different. So make sure you work with somebody that is familiar with it from the, you know, you've got tools, bikes, all your sporting good stuff. Kids are probably going to be in and out of that one a lot more, so you want to make sure they're extremely durable. So you can find the rest at rosieonthehouse.com. Just click on our blog. It is our article for today. Next week, what is next week? I don't remember. But we'll be here Saturday, 7 to 11, every Saturday morning here at Rosie on the House. Go through a couple of our listener questions. We had Susan write in and was concerned about nail pops in her home. It was built in 92, and she's starting to see nail heads over the last 7 years pop through the drywall. And that's one of the reasons, Susan, we are huge advocates of masonry walls. And if you're, and when it comes to drywall instead of nails, screws, I mean, it's the amount of work you have to do in a wood-framed home to ensure absolute quality. I don't understand why someone doesn't look at it and say, man, let's stack some bricks, because that's going to be a heck of a lot better. The moisture content of the wood when it was delivered, how long the wood's been on the yard, was it covered, was it uncovered? When we build a wood-framed home and they're putting a tile roof on it, they have to leave the tile roof, the tiles, they stack it on the roof for at least a month, if I remember right, so that the wood settles, because it has to get used to the weight of the tile roof. If they put it on and then stuccoed it, they were having so many problems with the stucco cracking as the wood shifting, because it's getting used to the weight, that just became practice. You had to leave your concrete tile stacked up there. So obviously that's not going to help in your case. It's not practical to bulldoze the home and start over with masonry. But it's just, if you're looking at building a home, to not go masonry is just not a smart decision. But the good news for you, it's mainly an aesthetic based on the picture that you sent. The nails aren't coming out of the drywall. There's just popping over the heads from the wood shifting inside and the nails moving out a little bit. I mean, if the nails were coming out, you'd have a problem, but this is just an aesthetic problem. You can patch it, and it'll just be a something you have to do to maintain. If you're worried about it and you want to have somebody look at it, there are foundation specialists that will have engineers that they can refer you to that can come out and give you that assurance that there's nothing structurally wrong with your house. If you look in the foundation category at Rosie on the House, you will find Arizona Ramjack and Arizona Foundation Solutions, which is actually the answer to our next caller who has a brick home built in 47 near Thomas and the 51. They're doing some remodeling. They've got the floors ripped up, and there's cracks all over the concrete, which is not uncommon. All concrete will crack. And they said they had their foundation looked at, and they said it was fine. Well, foundation can be separate from your concrete floor service. And what we see a lot is heaving being more of the problem. Your foundation could be fine, but there could be heaving in areas or settling underneath different aspects of your floor that has created the concrete to settle. If it's not load-bearing, then obviously there's no foundation problem that we've had. Chances are you're going to be able to, again, have a foundation specialist look at it, confirm it's in good condition. And then at that point, we just put a new coat. It's a very thin product that we put on top that gives us a cement that gives us a new surface to work with. There's a lot of them have polymer included in it. It makes it bond very good to the existing concrete, and that gives us a brand new surface to now work with on whatever decorative concrete finish we want to do. I love it. I love decorative concrete finishes. It's something that's very durable, very easy to clean. And when I built my home, I didn't put any flooring in it. It's 100% decorative concrete, wall to wall. Even the patios were decorative stamped wood finish, so I don't have to ever worry about flooring. I just get the wax out from time to time and give it a nice new polish. And about every few years, you got to reseal it to keep it good. And then if you ever get tired of the finish look, if it's not color and that you pigmented into the concrete, if it's a topical application, you can do a chemical treatment, remove it all, and put a brand new finish down. And it's, in my book, the way to go. And then if you're looking for that carpet feel, just get area rugs. And then at times you can have those rolled up, take them to cleaners, and bring them back. And it's, again, that is my preferred method. Instead of putting in a flooring surface, you know, is only going to be temporary. Now, maybe 25 years, maybe 50 years, you get out of it, sure. You know, I just have that very long-term mindset. When I get done with my project, I want to know I have as little possible maintenance as can be, because I don't like to spend a lot of time at home working on home improvement projects. I like to be home with the family. I like to be home and enjoy the time and not have a huge honey-do list. I think we have time for one more email here. Rob was still on the flooring topic, as I just bashed types of flooring. He's putting in Pergo flooring, and he's got the tack strips from the carpet, and he's worried about creating damage because there's post-tension slab, which means there's cables that are set in the concrete. But Rob, the tack strip, the nails they use for the tack strips are so small, you will get a little popping around the nail heads. Not going to be a problem with the post tension. You have to get down to the wires and cut it, and that takes a lot more than just pulling out nail heads. So you're fine there. Join us next Saturday here at Rosie on the House, 7 o'clock sharp. Until then, it's rosieonthehouse.com for any questions about your house, home, castle, or cabin. What a wonderful world.